we've heard a little bit lately on this show about, say, bodies that were involved in the plane crashes of 9/11. And that some people say, well, you know, there should be more bodies. There should be more physical evidence from this. And so I was kind of curious about where you were with that. As I'm reading these chapters, especially the one about the planes bursting in air, about that. Because, I don't know, I mean, there does seem to be, under these extraordinary circumstances that you present in the book, still lots of, you know, DNA evidence that can be recovered and processed.
Well, it's hard to, I mean, it is hard to completely destroy a body. That's for sure. And there's a chapter in the book. You referred to bodies bursting in air. There is a chapter in there about an explosion at an illegal fireworks factory in Tennessee. A huge, horrific explosion. The biggest fireworks factory explosion in U.S. history. It was an illegal factory down in the woods in Tennessee. A lot of law breaking goes on in Tennessee.
Right.
There was a lot. Those bodies, the people who were working, there were a dozen people working in this barn when a spark set the whole place off, and the barn was just completely leveled. I mean, the wood was turned into matchsticks, basically. 12 people went up through the roof, through the air. One of the 12 actually survived miraculously. Got blown over a house and landed in the front yard of the house that was beside the barn. But the 11 people who died, a lot of them, you know, the arms and legs were torn off, heads were torn off. They were torn apart, but they weren't decimated. They weren't
right.
They weren't basically reduced to nothing. Now the trade centers. I mean, there was so much force. I mean, as you say, I'm a writer and a documentary maker, not a scientist. But I watched the towers come down on television, and just the force of those towers collapsing was so enormous. All those millions and millions of tons of material. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot about that day and those events that I'm not sure we'll ever really know or understand. But there's an enormous amount of force grinding down, on the people who are still trapped inside. And, you know, I don't know. I can imagine that all that concrete and steel grinding with so much force after there's been such fire, you know, could pretty well reduce things to, you know, to nothing. But
it's kind of like as I'm reading these criminal stories, I mean, they're trying to do that. I mean, criminals are trying all the time to essentially obliterate the evidence of a crime.
Sure.
They're trying to get rid of the bodies. They're trying to, you know, and they're doing these things using all sorts of different means to obscure the identification of these bodies.
Wood chippers, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, part of what I'm reading as I'm going through this is that the body is incredibly resilient. And DNA, especially, as we have come to expect from shows like CSI and from the movies, the DNA is really becoming something which it's getting really hard to keep scientists from finding.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have an answer for you about the Trade Center bodies. I wish I did.
I wasn't so much expecting an answer, but I mean, it's like when the plane went into the side of the Pentagon, and there's a lot of fuel in a small area, and I was sort of thinking about that when I was reading the sections about where the doctor and you are talking about how hard it is to get rid of bodies, because even at what temperature would a body even be destroyed? And we ordinarily you can't come up with those temperatures except under extraordinary circumstances.
Right, yeah. A cremation furnace, we've kind of looked at cremation because Dr. Bass has looked at a lot of the cremains, is the term. It's kind of a hokey term for human cremated remains. From that crematorium down in Georgia, where they actually weren't really burning the bodies. But a cremation furnace normally operates at about 1,600 to 1,800 degrees Fahrenheit, which is pretty doggone hot. And you can actually, a car fire can get that hot or even hotter. I just sat through a really interesting talk by a woman who is a forensic anthropologist. She had a PhD from the University of Tennessee's forensic anthropology program, but she works as a firefighter part-time. And so she's combining her interests, because she's studying car fires. She burns cars for research and measures the temperature. And the temperature in a car fire can spike over 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit because all that synthetic material inside, once it starts to burn, it burns really hot. So you can pretty well cremate a body in a car fire, which was surprising to me, just to see how hot those
right
fires can burn.
But it would still leave you, as the case was that you just mentioned, it would still leave you with skeletal remains.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's
it's not going to burn up the minerals in the bone.
It'll right.
Reduce, and if it's hot enough, when a body burns, what's left behind, even in a cremation furnace, is the skeleton. Now, in a cremation furnace, you open up the cremation furnace, and you actually see the skeleton laid out in the floor of the cremation furnace. It's really interesting. I mean, I'm not sure.
I've been there. I've been to a couple.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people, I think, tend to assume that, it just reduces it all to this little pile of ash, which isn't
it doesn't,
the case.
Right.
I mean, you can recognize every bone in that body. And then they put those, they're very brittle. All the organic material is burned up, but the mineral matrix is still there, and the cremation,
right.
The crematorium staff runs those very brittle calcined bone, it's called, runs the calcined
right.
bone through a pulverizer, a grinder that gives you what you see in the, in the urn that comes back.
The so-called ashes.
Right, exactly, exactly.
Right.
But, in a car fire, you're still going to get, the bones are still going to be pretty well intact.